here today. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Please join with me as we commit our time to the Lord. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you this morning that we can gather as your people on this your day. And we come, Lord, with grateful and thankful and sincere hearts. And we come and we pray that as we gather together in the name of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might know something of your Spirit at work in our hearts this day. Grant us ears to hear your voice. Grant us understanding and fresh insight into your word. But above all, we pray that our worship will be honouring and pleasing and acceptable in your sight. So forgive us, Lord, afresh of our many sins. We pray that all that is done and said will glorify your holy and precious name. We ask these things in the name of the living Lord Jesus Christ, who, when on earth, taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing together, Come People of the Risen King. Great. Now, I understand, Paul, you have a a talk for the children. So boys and girls, if you'd like to come and meet Paul at the front, that'll be great. Thank you. Great.
If I said to you, Matilda, what would you think about?
The books.
Roald Dahl.
The movie.
The movie. You going to say the same? Right. Caleb gave me the first answer, and that's the one I was thinking of. Matilda loved reading books. How many of you like reading? Not all of you, no. Matilda used to get into trouble, didn't she, for reading books? I used to get into trouble as well for reading books. Not just for reading books, for having a torch under the blanket to read books. To sit by the window with the outside light reading books. Now, I've got a special book here this morning that I'm going to show you. It's a wordless book. So if you don't like reading, doesn't matter. This book is for you. And it's a special book that you can use in any country. You can use any language. Wherever you go, you can use this book. Now, this book starts off with gold. No pictures, no words. It's a wordless book. Who can tell me the first four words in the Bible? Caleb?
In the beginning, God.
In the beginning, God. Now, this book starts off with God. And the gold reminds me of heaven. And that God is perfect. God is holy. And he lives in heaven. And in the beginning, God, what did he do next? He said that let there be light. He created the world. And you could almost say it was heaven on earth. Because God was there as well. But you know the story. Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. They decided that they knew best. And the next page in my book reminds me of that. It's black. It reminds me of sin. That we are all dirty. We're all sinful. And God can't be with us anymore. So the world became a dark place because of sin. But God is a very loving God. And he didn't like that. He wanted us to be with him. So the next page is red. Because that reminds me that God loved us so much, he sent Jesus into this world. And you know the story. Jesus lived a perfect life, yet he was killed. He shed his blood for us. And in the Bible, it tells us that our sins can be washed away by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus. So the next page in my book reminds me that we can be clean again if we believe and trust in Jesus. And because we're clean again, because we are not sinful if we trust in Jesus, we can be with God again in heaven. So this wordless book takes us right from the beginning of the world right through to the end of the world. But it's a story for each of us that we need to think and read about it. It's a simple story. It can be said with no words. And there's a little bit in the Bible that tells us about Paul when he was in Philippi. And he was in jail. And there was an earthquake. And the jailer was going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do that. We're all here. And this is what the jailer said. What must I do to be saved? And the answer was simple. Same as the book. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So the book starts off sinful, Jesus dying, us clean, then we go to heaven. It's a very simple story that you can understand, that anybody can understand. It's not complicated. People try and make it complicated, but it's not. It's just believing that we're sinful, that Jesus came to save us, and that by trusting in him, we can end up going to heaven. Now, my book's got a green cover. What does green things remind you of?
Life.
Life, yes.
Grass.
Grass. Right, good. It's all the things that are growing. Now, what do plants need to grow?
Water, sunlight,
and soil. Good. They need food, they need light. And this reminds me that if you believe that Jesus died and you become a Christian, you need three things as well. You need light. Praying to God for understanding. You need food. Reading the Bible. You need somewhere to grow. So you need to join a local church with other people that you can all grow together. So the book, no words, a very important story though. And I have lots of books for you, so see me after. And I'll give you a book exactly the same so you can take it home and remember. And the adults need books like this as well, because we need to remember how simple it is and how much God loved us, and he made it so simple for us to be with him. Shall we pray? Oh Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son, that the story of his life and what we must do is so simple that even these children can understand it. And we pray that as they go away and think about it, that they will come to believe that you love them and that they can be with you. We ask this for thy name's sake. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, boys and girls. Well, it's good to see you all. And again, we extend to you a very, very warm welcome. Now, as you can see that following this service, we'll come around the Lord's Supper. And this is an open invitation for all those who are walking in fellowship with the Lord and his people. Now, our communion offering for this month will be for Christians Against Poverty. 12:15, there will be today Sunday Rock and Fab for the teenagers. And then we meet again here, God willing, 6 o'clock this evening for our evening worship. Tuesday, 9 a.m, will be the Art Club. And God willing, 10:30 on Tuesday, there will be a time of prayer here preceding the open-air witness in the city centre at 11:30. This is all on Tuesday morning. Wednesday morning, God willing, 9:30, the toddlers ministry will be held here. And 7:30, there will be a missionary prayer meeting. And this month, we are looking forward to the visit from Merv and Kim Neal. Thursday morning, 10:30, will be the ladies' Bible study. This will be held in the church, but there's also provision available on Zoom. Friday afternoon, 4:30, will be Friday Rock for primary school age children. Saturday, 7:30, will be our teenage ministry called Blast, which brings us to next Lord's Day, 10:30 in the morning, 6 in the evening. Both those services, God willing, will be conducted by Mark Jenkins. Next Lord's Day, I am due to be preaching in Grangetown Baptist Church in Cardiff. Also, there's just to say there is a creche available, and if you want to take the children out, then please do so. And a good time to do that would be during the singing of our next hymn, which is Like a River Glorious. But before we do so, let's just turn to God's Word, to Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. So we turn to Colossians chapter 1, and we shall read from the first verse. Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this day. Let's pray for a moment. Please join with me. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he truly is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. We thank you that by him all things were created. We thank you that they were created by him and for him, and that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Thank you that he is the head of the body. He is the head of his church. And so, Lord, we come this day and we pray that as we've been challenged through Paul this morning with the children, about how it's important for us not only to know you, but to grow in you. And Lord, we pray that you might empower us and help us and equip us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We do, Lord, pray that as we open your word in a few moments, that you might indeed speak powerfully into our hearts. And we pray that we might indeed be submissive to your word, obedient to live out these truths for your honour and for your glory. Lord, we pray for those who are laid aside in sickness, in ill health, those who through circumstances prevent them from being here today. Lord, we pray that you might draw near to them and encourage them and help them in their time of need. Thank you, Lord, for those who join us from home. And we pray also that you might indeed encourage those who today are still outside of your kingdom. Lord, we pray that maybe this will be the day that they were born for, that you'll open their eyes, you'll show them their need of salvation. So hear us and help us now. Lord, we thank you that we belong to you, not because we've merited it, not because we've earned or deserved it, but we belong to you this morning, all because of your amazing grace. So Lord, be merciful to us and help us now as we continue to worship you. And we pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, let's sing together. Like a river, glorious is God's perfect peace. Opening chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. And of course, we are considering in this new series on Sunday mornings what it means to be a part of his church and how that looks like in a local setting. That this church, Emmanuel Evangelical Church, is the local expression of his universal church, his glorious church. And we saw last Sunday morning that as believers, we are part of his body. We're all members. We're all members of the one body, his church. And yet we all have a differing gifting and function. Now this morning, as we continue to think in terms of the body of Christ, this little verse here, verse 18, that tells us that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. And so as we consider this morning something of the Lord Jesus Christ and the relationship between him and his people, course, we noted last week that life in the church derives from the head. Without the head, there is no life. Without Christ, there is no church. And so the life of the church is through the head, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, for us to just understand the context in which Paul wrote this letter to this church, that they were coming under some pressure. And it concerned Paul, and Paul wanted them to be aware that there were those who were beginning to infiltrate their congregation, that they may not be teaching the truth as they've received the truth from Paul. And he didn't want them to succumb to hollow and empty philosophies of man. But he wanted them to remain steadfast and strong and sure, knowing their doctrine, knowing what it means to be a part of the church, knowing that Christ, who is the head, is continuing to speak into our hearts and our circumstances. And so he gave them a warning. Don't be misled. Don't be taken up with the traditions of man. Look at verse 8 in chapter 2. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Verse 9, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. Of course, we noted last Sunday morning as well that the church is unique in so much that it's not simply another institution or organization. You know, there are many institutions, there are many organizations. We heard that you can have a social membership in the local tennis club here, not far from where Viv and I live. I'm sure there are other levels of membership in the cricket club, the bowls club, the rugby club, the crochet club, or whatever. And we saw that actually our place in the body is unique, but it's wholly significant. And we must never lose the wonder of who we are and our place within the church of Jesus Christ. And so how do an onlooking world within this community and within the community in which we live and move and operate and function, how do an onlooking world know who we are and who we belong to? And so being a member of a local church is one very practical and visible way in which we can show an onlooking world that we are one in Christ Jesus, that we've come together, we've sought a church that takes God's word seriously, that takes sin seriously, and takes the offer of salvation, which is extended to us in Christ, seriously as well. And we seek to be that church, and God has blessed and honoured this church for many, many years, and we seek to continue being a church that takes God and his word seriously, that we take sin seriously. Why? Because God does. But also we take the offer of salvation that is extended to us week by week seriously as well. And if you can find a church like that, and we pray that those who are considering to come into membership here, that we realize then that if Christ is the head, and then for this church to function and to grow and to flourish as God would have it to function and to grow and to flourish, then there needs to be a strong relationship between us as his people, between us as a body of believers, and Christ, who is the head of the church. We need to be functioning. We need to be moving. We need to be listening. And so there needs to be a strong relationship. And so Paul, the context here is that Paul, he wants them to know stability, But he also wants them to continue to know purity within the church at Colossae. Now, that's a big thing today, isn't it? We say as a church, and we'll say to our unconverted friends, that actually we stand on the authority of Scripture. That's what we do as a church. We stand on the authority of Scripture. And so our authority as a church is derived from God's holy and inspired word. That's why this word and the preaching of this word is central to all that we do. I'll give you an example. Perhaps those who are tuning in this morning and you're sat at home and you've been challenged. You think, well, yeah, perhaps I do need to belong. In light of the ministry last Sunday morning, I do need to belong to a local church. Maybe I need to prayerfully start considering and start the search, if you like, in doing that. Well, a very simple exercise would be this. That if you go to any local church that professes to be a gospel church, a biblical church, then the first indication is, if they sing for an hour, and I love singing, they sing for an hour, and they have 20 minutes in the Word, what does that tell us about their priorities? And so, the length of time that we spend in this Word is our priority. So if we spend 40 minutes singing, then you can expect me to preach for an hour and a half. Okay? Because that's the priority. And you're like, oh no, it's bad enough for 30 minutes, Andy, not hour and a half. But do you see the point we're making? And so Jesus is the living and Word of God. He is seated at the right hand of our Father. He is praying, pleading, interceding for his people. And yet he is still, because he's head of the church, he is still communicating truth to us through his word. His word is relevant today as it was when it was first penned. It's a relevant word. And so we stand on his word because it's authoritative, but also it's relevant. It's relevant to every age and generation. It speaks, and God speaks into our hearts and homes and into our culture and into our time today. It's relevant for 2023. It was relevant for last year. It was relevant for last century. It'll be relevant for the next century if Christ hasn't yet returned. It's a relevant word. So it's authoritative. It's relevant. And so this is key now. That if the relationship between Christ, who is the head of the church, the head of his body, and with his people, if he's speaking, which he is, are we listening? Or maybe we know he's speaking, but somehow we're not hearing it clearly. Now, many years ago, it's changed now because you've got electronic information boards. But many years ago, standing on Gloucester train station platform, and I don't know if it still holds the record, but it was always known as one of the longest platforms in the UK. But you were wholly reliant on the PA, the public announcer. The train just about to arrive at platform two is the... And it's all like... You're thinking, what was that? So you're looking for a guard or you're looking for someone, if they're not out on strike, and that's just a joke, but but so you're looking for someone to say, what was that? I heard someone saying something about a train arriving on platform... No. What platform was it? And is it the train for, or is it the train for Newcastle? And you're hearing something, but it's not clear and distinct. We can be in church and we can hear something. We know that God is speaking, but somehow it's not clear and distinct. Ah. Is that because God's not clear? No. God is always clear. He's abundantly clear in what he says. So why then are there times we don't quite hear him clearly? Because all is not well within the body. All is not well within the church. All is not well within our hearts. And so there are times when we're hearing something, but it's not clear to us. And that's because, not because God isn't speaking clearly, it's because things aren't right within us. So somehow, information that's being sent clearly to the body, it isn't being received as it ought. Also, perhaps we do hear the announcement that the train on platform 2 is the 10:54 to Cardiff. You hear that? Wow. That's for me. That's the one I want to catch. That's the train I'm going to board. But then as you're just about to board, you're distracted. You see someone you've not seen for many years. You were in college together. Well, I never. Look who it is. Yeah, come here. And I suppose if you were in college or school, we all had nicknames. Mine was Roland, see? And I went for years. And if someone said Andrew or Andy, I just didn't respond. But if you said Roland, I said, yeah. And you can imagine that. Well, look who it is. It's old Roland. Roland Ratty, see, because I had 68 years. So, oh, look at this, it's Roland. And then all of a sudden, well, come on. And then you're distracted. And then you're swept away, aren't you? Never mind that. There'll always be another train. The next hour. Or this afternoon. Or tomorrow. And sometimes we can be like that when God is speaking. He speaks to his people. He speaks to his church. And we hear clearly. But then we're taken up. We are distracted with the things of this world, people of this world, perhaps ambitions that are worldly, and so we're distracted. There are other times that it's muffled. That's because all is not well within our hearts and within the body. Other times we hear it clearly, but we're distracted. Other times we hear the information, we hear the text, we hear the truth, we hear the command, we hear the exhortation clearly. And yet something within us prevents us from wanting to submit, to be obedient to what God is calling us to do and what God is calling us to be. And so that's just my clumsy way of introducing the whole area of belonging in the local church. There has to be. Being a Christian is belonging. You're in the body. And the way that you can express that togetherness, that unity, that love, that's one aim, one heart, one desire, is that you belong to a local church where you can show an onlooking world, this is what we believe, this is what we stand for, and this is how we understand God's love for a dying world. Of course, then that's displayed, as we'll see, as this series unfolds. But submission is key. And I'm not just talking this morning about individual submission. Sure, that's important. But it's submission as a church, submitting to the gifts that God has blessed his church with. Now, Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, he describes that God has graciously gifted to the church those who will help to build up the church, who will help to bring a sense of unity within the church. Are those who will strengthen or edify the church. And so some of those gifts are our pastors and teachers and evangelists and so on and so forth. They're given as gifts to the church so that the body might be edified, might be built up, might be strengthened. And God graciously does that in order to keep us, if you like, on track. There's lots of railway illustrations today. Okay? I apologise about that. To keep us on track. To keep us on board. To keep us moving. To keep us moving in the same direction. But what happens is, just like with us using the physical body as an analogy, as a metaphor, sometimes the message that comes from the brain isn't always enacted by the members. And sometimes it's ponderous, it's slow. Sometimes it can be clumsy. And we know that as part of the aging process. But it can happen within the body, can't it? And so what Paul wants is for the body to be strong, to be stable, and for the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be at the forefront. Why? Because Christ is the head. He is the preeminent one. So who's in charge? You ever asked that question? You've been in, I don't know, you've been in a restaurant or a hotel, or you've been somewhere, a shop, and something hasn't quite gone right, and you're a little bit disappointed, and you're in two minds. Or should I just take it and on the chin and put it down to a bad day? Or do I just gently say to someone in charge, you know, just a little bit disappointed that the product I purchased hasn't quite turned out as it promised on the box. It didn't do what it said on the tin, or I don't know, your fillet steak wasn't quite as you wanted it. And so you ask the question, you know, who's in charge? Is there anyone here who's in charge? Because what do you want to do? You want to get some sense, don't you? And hopefully the person in charge, ought to know what's going on. Who's in charge here? Who's in charge here? It's not the elders. It's not the deacons. It's not even the congregation who will obviously endorse proposals. Who's in charge? Whose church is it anyway? My first deacon's meeting I ever had, not here. My first ever I'd never been to a deacon's meeting. See? It was a culture shock for me. I just thought they had tea and toast. Bit of fellowship. My first ever deacon's meeting, I was told by the senior deacon, this is your church, and now you need to take responsibility. Oh, welcome. Croeso. And I sat there, I said, it's not my church. It's not even our church. It's his church. And Emmanuel Evangelical Church is his church. This is his people. An expression, a local expression of his glorious church. And so, vision, direction, decisions come from the head, come from him. Now, you think about that for a moment. Even in many, many evangelical churches, is that how they function? Or is it because there's someone who's very assertive and has got a great idea and he won't let matters rest until his idea is implemented? No, we don't want to implement anything here other than what God wants. And that's on every level. We pray about everything. Submission to his word and prayer. And actually, I said last Sunday morning, maybe we just got to go back to basics. Until we grasp that we're not going to move together and function for his glory and to fulfill his plans and purposes and to reenact his will unless we are all surrendered and submissive to his word, and that we study the word together, we pray together, we live together, we love together, we serve together, we move together. It's not a case of over to the deacons. That's practical, let them do it. That's not practical, let someone else do it. Can't find anyone else, let the elders do it. That's how some churches function. Is that how Christ wants his church to function? Is that the sort of church that a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ wants to join and to be a part of at a local level? So that we can serve together, work together. You know, they talk about the 80-20 principle. Have you heard about the 80-20 principle? The 80-20 principle is this, and sadly we see it in lots of churches. Not saying here, I'm just saying, generally speaking, 80-20 principle, that 20% of the membership do the work. There's a core. And if you were to say, you know, I've been praying with the elders about doing something radical or different, and then we've sat down with the deacons and we prayed and we believe this is of God. But we need 5 people to implement what we believe is from God. Usually the 5 people who will step forward are part of the 20 or 20% who are already flat out. Where are the 80%? Who are the 80%? The body, every one of us, in Christ, functioning, because in him we live and move and have our being. He is the head. That we take our cue from him. That we surrender to him. We submit to him. We seek him in prayer. Not just individually, but collectively. And so it's challenging, isn't it? What is the responsibility of someone who belongs to a local church? Is that prayer and God's word take the priority, that Christ in their lives and within the body of the church takes the preeminence. He is the priority, he is the preeminent one, and everything else fits in around him. And the things that we do, if they don't ultimately cast a spotlight onto him, why are we doing it? I remember one chap saying to me in Merthyr, he said, we seem to do a lot of outreach here. What about inreach? I said, you're right. You're absolutely right. Inreach. And he was smirking. He thought, like, I've got him on the ropes. That's how some Christians think. They get their pastor on the ropes. Corner him. I got him on the ropes. I said, you're absolutely right. I said, let's meet up for a cup of coffee. And let's talk about inreach. And we talked about being at the means of grace. Being at times and opportunities to pray. Around God's word. Maybe just on the odd occasion, let's all go to a conference that will equip us and inspire us and help us. In reach. Let's talk about these things over a meal. And he went very quiet and subdued. He said, yeah, he said, you've made your point. Well, I wasn't really making a point. I was just saying what I believe the head of the church is calling us to do. I wasn't trying to make a point. I wasn't trying to be clever. No, no, no. But he took the point. You see, there was plenty of inreach. But for whatever reason, he didn't avail himself of those opportunities to know the blessing that God was affording the body. Do you know for me, one of the greatest blessings for me is to hear people pray that I've never heard pray. I just love it. And actually, it's not necessarily what they say or what they pray. Sometimes it's just their manner. Sometimes it's just their demeanor. I remember we had a chap come to Park, and he'd come from a different church, and he wanted to settle in Park. And he said to me, he said, am I allowed to come to the prayer meeting? Of course you can. And by the way, you're all allowed to come to the prayer meeting. Of course you can. And his prayers were, not being disrespectful, at best they were childlike. But they were such a blessing to me. Because I knew there was someone who was connected. Was connected. And it was thrilling. Connected. He knew God intimately. He was connected. Now, imagine, this is what Christ is aspiring for his church to look like. Imagine now a local church where you have people who are not just connected because they pronounce or make a confession they're connected, but it's evident and obvious that they are connected in not just their praying, but in their living, in their demeanor, in their listening, in their understanding, in their loving. Connected. Imagine how powerful a picture that is when a body of believers and an onlooking world says, well, I don't know what they've got. I don't know what's going on there. But see how they love each other. See, they talk about the Lord as if they knew him. When we hear unbelievers speak like that, then we start to see that actually the body is responding to the very word and direction of Christ, who is the head. Someone asked me recently, do you really believe that Christ is in charge? Yes. Man, you believe that? Yeah. You really believe, and I took them to Colossians 1, you believe that he is the firstborn of all creation, yeah? That he's the image of the invisible God, yeah? That in him all things hold together, yeah? That in him all the fullness of God dwelt, yes? And through him he was able to reconcile all things to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, yes? And he's able to reconcile by making peace through the blood of his cross. Yeah? You believe that? You are nuts. Because that's what the average person in the street will say. The fact that we believe in a creator. Not all professing Christians believe that God created the world. Let's get real. Just because someone professes to be a Christian, they don't all believe that the Genesis account is an actual account. That they'll talk about the Garden of Eden as being a parable. We've got to be serious about God and his word and prayer and his people. And so there's a connection. Of course, we are connected. But what happens when we fall into sin? I'll tell you what happens. We don't lose our salvation. We don't lose our place in Christ. What happens when we sin, and often we do, is the link of fellowship that exists between us and God and his people is broken. And it remains, that link of fellowship remains broken until what happens? Until we confess our sin. Knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And why lots of churches find themselves in difficulties is because there's not a willingness and an acceptance that the link of fellowship has been broken. And it comes back to submission. Here, clearly, when Paul is writing to the church of Colossae, he wants them to understand the stability, the purity, the integrity of God's people in one place. So that we are, if you like, we are exhibiting the very real godly and holy characteristics of the Lord Jesus Christ, who indwells our hearts by his Spirit. Going back to the train station analogy, the platform, the platform announcer or the PA, public announcer, he's off. You don't see it today so much now, but when I was a kid, when I was a child, no one seemed to be even concerned or bothered to hear. And he was passing on vital information. A delay. Perhaps a cancellation. Maybe there needs to be another change on your route. But everyone's just rushing around. Because everyone knows the system. You get there. You purchase your ticket. You get onto the platform, you know the platform, you know what time roughly the train comes. If it was British Rail, then that was give or take 10 minutes, but it would come eventually. And you jump on, and often you jump on the same carriage with the same people, you get off at the same stop with the same people, you do it morning and evening, you do it week after week, month after month, year, and you went to do your place of work, and you went to do what you did, and you came, and everyone, so irrespective of what the PA was saying, people just carried on and did their own thing. And if there was a little bit of a delay or whatever, they'd have a little get together and try and work something out. Well, I tell you what, if we get off at the next stop, I'll ring my cousin Jack and he can come and pick us up and take us home for the last part of the journey. And you know what? I believe lots of churches function like that. They know the routines. They know what we do. Roll up. Get on board. Same day, same time every week. Get on board in your ministry. You do it. Go home. Roll up next week. You know the pattern. You know how many hymns we'll sing. You know what comes next. Stand, sit, stand, sit. Sit, 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 sit for a long time. Go home. And all the time, there's his voice speaking. Will those churches know the very real blessing of God? No, they won't. Because they're not listening. See, it's one thing to listen as individuals. What about a church? Do we listen to what God is saying as a church? Or are we just like so focused? Tuesday, do my thing. Thursday, do my thing. Friday, do my thing. Saturday, I'll do my thing Saturday. Sunday, I'm on the rota, I do my thing. We come, we go, we do our thing. We jump on board. We see the same people every week. Hi, how you doing? Oh, yeah. We moan about the weather. We moan about something or other. We go home. And all the time, there's a voice in heaven speaking to us. But we're so caught up with what we do, we're not hearing what he is saying. And maybe, just maybe, there are times, I believe this, that God says, stop. Just stop. Be still. And know who I am. It's not all about doing, is it? It's about seeking, listening, leaning, surrendering. There's so much that's involved in being a child of God and belonging to the local expression of his glorious church. So this morning, this is the second part of the introduction. If you're a Christian, you are connected. You're connected. But ensure that connection and that link of fellowship is healthy and is restored at the first sign of us sinning and stumbling, which, if you're anything like me, is quite often. It's quite often. You're connected. Ensure that that connection is restored. He is willing. He is able. But there is a responsibility on us, isn't there? Not just as individuals, but as a church. Speak, Lord. And we are listening. So that we get on the right track, going in the right direction, meeting the right people, fulfilling the right plans and the right purposes. And then he, because the spotlight is on him, receives all the honour, all the praise, and all the glory. I read a lovely story in the week, I'll finish with this, about Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He was engaged to be married to his delightful Bethan. And then she discovers that this budding Harley Street doctor was going to turn his back on medicine and was going to take a call to the pastorate down in South Wales. And she said, you know you can do medicine. You know you can do that. You're good at that. But can you preach? And he said, I can preach to myself. And if I can preach to myself, maybe God will enable me to preach to others. Do you see the point there? When God speaks to his word, when he asks me to preach a message, it's preach to my own heart. And we need to submit and surrender and accept this is for me. Not for Jack in the back row. We've got no Jacks here, have we? Not for Ethel in the front row. We've got no Ethels. Because often that can be our mindset. That's a great word for her or him. But often it's a great word for me. And if the body is listening and the body is submissive, then we can all walk and move in harmonization, in unity, for the glory of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the preeminent one. He is the head of this, his church. Well, we're going to sing. As we come to the Lord's Supper, it's a lovely song. Many of you know it. And it just helps us now to cast our mind to Calvary. Let's stand as we sing. Pray for a moment. Father, help us in these moments to recognize that you are indeed the one true and living God, and help us to be submissive to you in every detail of our lives. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.